Welcome to show number 926, the 13th day of February. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in, you know what comes next. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I mean, there's just an absolute overwhelming amount of tech, so much so that we're not going to spend a lot of time on announcements tonight, but we do have a couple of key things to get into. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, it's real easy to get engaged with us. And all you really got to do is you got to go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over there, you're going to find a place to subscribe to the show, get hooked up with the newsletter, even support our sponsors if you feel that we're worthy. But definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content with all our great writers that are really producing a lot of stuff on the website. And, of course, our media creators as well, with the Gadget Professor, who just put out a new show tonight. I was going to scroll down and look and see Don had published this just a few minutes ago. And it's he's talking about the EYN smartphone cases and a variety of other products, including what's new with the Livestream Studio HD51. So definitely check out the Gadget Professor today and what he's got up for you. Matter of fact, like minutes, I get to about 30 minutes before the show, I jump in the shower. And in the shower, you know, scrubbing away, and I'm thinking, I wonder if this domain is still available. And I got cleaned up and got in the studio here, and I was supposed to be finishing up show prep, and I went over to GoDaddy, and I typed in the domain name, and I was like, yes, score, major score. With these new TLDs, these new extensions, there's a lot of uncharted territory here and stuff that we couldn't get before. I'm pretty excited about this one. I may have to defend at some point because I think there's actually a company that's got this actual name in their title, but we'll see. Depends on how we apply it. But anyway, time will tell. But I was it was worth the, I guess, $27 or whatever it was to take the risk on the domain. But other than that, you know, a lot of stuff going here. I've told you last show, I've just been up to my eyeballs, and that's the way it continues here. We're busy getting ready to roll out a bunch of stuff at Raw Voice. I've been working with Angelo, getting that ready. I was talking with him on the phone this morning real early, and then late this afternoon. Matter of fact, late his time on some rollout on some stuff, and we're actually starting a test today on this show. I'll talk about that more in a few minutes. But more importantly, we want you to get subscribed to the show, subscribe to the newsletter. That way you won't miss anything. Of course, everything is right here at Geek News Central now. Show notes and everything are on the website, so you don't need to go anyplace else. And you can contact me at geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And, of course, I'm available. Whoops. We don't want to do that. Let's flip that one. We go there, and you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News as well. So Geek News is it. And that's the place to get a hold of me for the show. Of course, we got our Google Plus page, our Facebook page. All that is in the actual blog post for the show tonight. And that goes out to everyone on the newsletter as well. So if you're on the newsletter and you're not subscribed to all the places I'm at, please do so. And let me know where you're at so I can follow you back at the same time. Okay, so the Tech Podcast Network is a network that I belong to. Matter of fact, I'm the co-founder of the Tech Podcast Network. All family safe shows over there at techpodcast.com. Definitely check them all out. And, you know, you can find us on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. Really, we're all over the place. You can download the Tech Podcast up on your Android device. Really, that's where to go to grab this show, whether you're mobile or sitting in front of your TV, or just come over to geeknewscentral.com. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. And really, I've been very, very pleased. You guys are taking advantage of, I keep getting emails saying, hey, Todd, that 32% off code works here. And I'm like, Bravo. And so I had people picking up products and services and saving 32% off. Someone saved 32% on a server earlier this week. And when it comes to, you know, someone dishing out maybe $1,000 for a server, $320 off is a huge amount of money. So we definitely want you to make sure you get over to our page. It has all our promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All our February non-expiring offers are there. We've got the 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain using promo code 50HOST7. We've got 50% off your first 12 months of business website builder with a free domain using the promo code 50WSB7. We got the 32% off your order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1. And then a variety of codes, $2.95.coms. We've got $1 a month per month website builder. We've got $1.99. There's all kinds of deals there for you to mix and match to find your best savings. And definitely check everything out over at GoDaddy. We host this site, Geek News Central, at GoDaddy. Lots of, for many, many years, I've been on a dedicated server over there. And the site has, knock on wood, performed very, very well. And of course, that's set me up for a disaster, but everything's been great. And we want you to save a lot of money. Be your own boss. The dream starts with 32% off new products. That's really where the metal hits the road. And we want you to get over to GoDaddy and play around with those new top-level domains. Use my codes when you're buying those top-level domains. That Go32Off1 works on the .guru domains. They're normally $39.95. You can get, see, those TLDs, those new TLDs are top-level domains, are very expensive in some instances, but you can save 32% right off the top. And, you know, I'm using it, and you should too. Okay, so thanks again for GoDaddy being a sponsor here. And we want to encourage all of you to support all our sponsors on the website. We'll talk about a few more of those here in just a few minutes. Okay, so this coming Saturday, we're going to have the new media show. Gary Leland is going to be on with us, and he's going to be introducing a magazine that I'm actually writing for. And I should bring the website up now here. Let's see. It's Poddertainment, P-O-D-E-R, Poddertainment.com. And we're going to be talking with Gary on the launch day of, what did I do here? P-O-D-E-R, Poddertainment.com. There, we got to spell it right. How come? don't you just love it when a plan comes together? All right, so let me try this again. There we go. I was Poddertainment.com is the domain. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm right. So let's bring it up on the website. This is going to be where the new podcast magazine is going to be. And there's 13 or 14 of us that are writing for it. I did a 1,200 word article this month. As a matter of fact, I got to get started on next month's. It's already here, the 13th. I've got to get the next month's article ready to go before the end of the month. But you can see that the new media show is actually in rotation on the website for a banner ad. But definitely want all of you guys to read that when it comes out. And we'll be talking more with Gary on that on Saturday on the new media show when he comes on. Now, Gary has put his hand real heavily back into the podcasting space as well, because this past Saturday we had a guy on the new media show that is one of the leaders of the podcast movement. And what it's going to be is they're going to have a big conference in Addison, Texas in August. And is it going to load something? So I don't know why we're so slow tonight on the web. Okay, come on. I know, of course, that's why. You know, your host tonight cannot spell to save his life. So the podcast movement is running a Kickstarter, and they funded in less than 24 hours. 72 backers, $12,000, and it funded. So I'm very excited. I came in as a backer on this as well, and Rob Waste did. and as one of the sponsors over there. So if you're a podcaster or a new media creator, definitely get in on this. It's going to be an exciting event in August in Addison, Texas. And again, Gary is part of that team, and we'll probably talk to him a little bit about that this coming weekend as well. Okay, so but again, a few ideas in for those of you that want to do a show and work with me, want to do a podcast. So that's been going good. So keep those ideas flowing to geeknews@gmail.com. And we wanted to thank all of you that have become insiders. And at geeknewscenter.com/insiders, your help supporting the show in a big way. We appreciate it. And our multi-user site for Geek News Central is progressing. We've got a design. I have some time at the end of the month where I'm going to be going to Washington, D.C. And then on the way back, I'll be stopping in Chicago for our annual retreat. Yes, we have a retreat in Chicago in the winter, primarily to do it, make it a working weekend. And on Sunday, when most of the team leaves, Angelo and I are going to stay in Chicago, and we're going to work Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and to work on the design. And basically, we got to write some tools to do this big conversion of the site to make it a multi-user site and really get it ready for what we have planned. And so some of that's going to happen at the end of the month. I don't know if we'll actually roll the site out, but we'll definitely get a lot of it done there when him and I are sitting beside one another. So I told you guys at the beginning of the show that we've been working on some stuff. And I want to bring, those of you that are watching, I want to bring up the website. And you guys see that there's a new banner on the website. And this is something that we've been working on for a long time, is the affiliate program for Blueberry.com. And I'm the first official guinea pig to basically test this system. And what's going to happen is if you come over, if you want to start podcasting and you want a place to host your media, really the what we've come up with, and this is the beauty of our system, is that combined with a Blueberry media hosting, you can basically have one part WordPress, a second part of PowerPress, and third part Blueberry hosting, and you've got a winning combination there. And you can use any hosting company. We want you to use GoDaddy for your website hosting and put your WordPress blog on there and put your, you know, install PowerPress plugin and really get ready to go. Podcasting is, you know, not going to cost you very much at all. And the best part about it is if you come over to my website and you click on the banner, we're going to give you 1 month free of service over at blueberry.com. And it's going to allow you to get some time to set up and get configured and test the service and see how it works. We have some instructional videos, but you can also use the promo code GEEKNEWS at checkout for new counts over at Blueberry. We'll give you a month of free hosting, and you can try us out, and we hope that you'll do that. And it's part of our new affiliate program that we're launching. We'll have more details on that later. I'm not going to talk about it during this show, but I told Angelo I would share it with you tonight just because we're excited to finally bring it again to market. So again, just look for the banner on the website at geeknewscentral.com. All right, I think that's it for my just talking too much. And we're going to get into the stack here, the tech stack. And today's news, of course, was dominated, hugely dominated by the announcement, the big, huge announcement that the folks over at Comcast have decided to buy Time Warner. And I don't think it comes as a complete surprise, but we're all kind of expecting maybe Charter to be the company. And Comcast basically walked out of a discussion with Charter a few days ago and basically said, don't be surprised if we go out and do our own deal with Time Warner. And they did, and they did a big deal. $45 billion, all in stock, no cash, no failure clause or anything like that. So they're definitely worried about the regulatory stuff. Now, on the surface, for me here in Hawaii with Time Warner, it kind of looks interesting, because Comcast has definitely got a little bit better infrastructure. There's some stuff that Comcast has going for them, but a merger doesn't mean things would happen overnight. But also there's plus and minuses to this proposal. And really what this is, let's just boil it down to brass tacks. We all know TV, connected TV, wired TV, those that are still connected via the cord, is dropping. Comcast knows the money is in the broadband, is in the basically the internet users like me that use a lot of internet. Now, I don't necessarily look forward to going on Comcast and having a meter, but I don't think that we're a power user family here, but yeah, I'll buy what I need, you know, and we'll use what we need. So what's going to end up happening here is if this merger is approved, this acquisition, Comcast is going to have a huge percent of the market. I mean, very, very big. Now, how's Comcast pitching the deal? Comcast and Time Warner, technically, in most markets, don't compete. There is no Comcast here in Hawaii. I can't get Comcast now if I wanted it. But what's going to end up happening here with the merger is that Comcast is going to become an internet monopoly. And with what's going on with the net neutrality, we could have this situation where there, you know, someone could become too powerful. But at the same time, a big, powerful Comcast might be able to make better deals with the television producers and, you know, signing on shows and channels. But I don't think it's going to mean cheaper internet. I really don't. Now, this deal definitely raises flags, even though Comcast and Time Warner are not competitors. It's not always good to consolidate ownership. While it doesn't reduce choice in our local neighborhood, they are already, in a sense, cartel partners. There's a lot of things that they do semi together as well. And what it could really mean here is that because Comcast and Time Warner understand that cable cutters are going to start making a major impact, maybe it shows how weak Time Warner and Comcast really, really are. Now, at the same time, Google Fiber is starting to be introduced little by little, but not as fast as any of us want. We want more cities and more towns. You know, we want Google Fiber everywhere. And matter of fact, there's an announcement today that was made by Google that will set your ears back here in just a few minutes. But, you know, if net neutrality gets some legs, we may not be as much in trouble with this deal. But at the same time, if the FCC is going to sign off on this, I hope they get some hardcore concessions. In other words, maybe make them remove metering. So you can't meter your customers. That's part of the deal. You want to own Time Warner. You can't meter your customers. That would be a great concession for all of us. Maybe another concession would be minimum level of service that every customer would get. You know, so I know they sell the cheaper plans, but maybe there needs to be a minimum at one of those lower rates. But this really boils down to one or two things. It's totally an outgrowth of failure of the FCC to foster local competition. Now, according to a tweet that was made by Micah Singleton, he says there are 83 million U.S. broadband subscribers. 20.6 is a Time Warner Cable. 11.5 million is Time Warner Cable. Post-merger, Comcast will control nearly 40% of U.S. broadband. They've already agreed maybe to let some of their stuff go to get the number below 40. But we know that cable ownership rules were struck down in 2009. But at the same time, with the cable ownership rules being struck down, this deal is going to face a lot of scrutiny and going to have a lot of questions to be asked. And again, I think there's some risk in the company. They think that this could fail from a regulatory standpoint. So is there any benefits to the proposal? The Verge said there is one. Possible benefit of a merger, a cable company with true nationwide reach could cut the kind of deal that would change that providing enough subscribers to make next-generation TV product viable and create enough market pressure to bring its competitors to the table and sign on to similar arrangements. It's the kind of deal that can turn a new Apple TV into a set-top box that would let you watch live television. So I don't know. And I'm sure a lot of people in this audience are going to hate it. Some are going to love it. I'm leaning on the like it side so far. But it really boiled down, again, to that stormy meeting. The folks over at Charter got their legs cut out from underneath them, according to Bloomberg. They were shocked that this deal went happen. But Comcast didn't commit cash to this deal. So the Comcast acquisition values Time Warner Cable at $69 billion, including net debt, or 8.3 times its estimated 2014 earnings. Eight times. That's a lot. Three, four times is normal in an acquisition cost of a company, but it's eight times they went with. So, you know, what really happened here is Charter had a ridiculous lowball offer. And so they got cut out. And Comcast went over the top of them. I don't know what that means here for Hawaii. Our local cable company is called Oceanic, but it's Time Warner. So I don't know if Time Warner owns Oceanic and now Comcast will own Oceanic. In your guys' local areas, do you have just Time Warner? But here, if I want my service change, I called a company called Oceanic. Love to hear you guys' what am I doing? I'm closing tabs. Don't close tabs, Todd. You need those for later. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see where this leads. But I'll have a bunch of articles linked in the show notes for you tonight. The folks over at the Register says, Time Warner merger, great for Comcast, but not for anybody else. And they're pretty, pretty strong on their opinion on this, that this is not a good deal for consumers. Now, at the same time, Google has made an announcement. They're looking to boost Google Fiber speeds up to 10 gigs per second. Didn't know. Yes, you heard me. And even as Time Warner keeps arguing that people really don't want super fast internet, Google is planning ahead with plans to make its Google Fiber network even more of a beast. Google CFO Patrick Pache told the Goldman Sachs Technology Internet Conference this week that Google is working on technology that will boost fiber speeds to 10 gigs, around 10 times what they already deliver. In what reads like a veiled barb against other American ISPs, Pachette pointedly said that there's no reason to wait when it comes to deploying the fastest internet technology available. He says, this is where the world is going. It's going to happen. Pachette told the Goldman conference, why wouldn't we make it available in 3 years? That's what we're working on. There's no need to wait. We know Google Fiber is already the fastest service in the broadband service in the United States at a great price. If I ever leave Hawaii, I will move to a location in the lower 48 that has Google Fiber just for the speed. But what this is really up against too, folks, is what we have to be careful of, especially, now listen, especially if you live in a state that has already put in laws that said there shall be no local internet service providers. In other words, your local municipality is not allowed to roll out internet. 22 states have already got laws on the books that prevents any local municipality to go and put in high-speed internet. Now, if you think about it, think about the town that you may live. Some of you live in the country, and some of you may not live in a city with a lot of underground infrastructure. But most cities of a medium size, take the hometown that I grew up in, there's manhole covers, there's cables that run underneath the ground, there's piping. Those are all owned by the city. They are able to string and push fiber wherever they want with ease because they own it. It's their right of way. It's their pipes. So municipalities, some across the country, have gotten smart and put in their own high-speed internet. Coldwater, Michigan, was a town that is close to where I grew up. They put in high-speed internet before high-speed internet was cool. Those of you that have been with the show have heard me talk about this many times. But what's going on in states now and what the big fight in Utah is right now is they're trying to stop this from happening. So what that will mean is if the legislature is allowed to put this on the books, Comcast will be it, or Charter will be it, or Verizon will be it, or AT&T will be it. You will not be able to put in a local municipality. Now, I think what would be smart, if you live in a gated community, what you should do is you should go around and get your gated community together and your homeowners association together, put in your own backbone, you know, put in your own service. You know, if you're in a planning stage of building a community, lay the fiber, my God, for when you're going to build a house, put the fiber in when you're building. And that way, make that as part of the, you know, you don't have to buy stuff from Time Warner. You could have the head-end equipment on your own and just, you know, buy the connection. So, you know, hopefully communities get smart and don't allow these laws to be passed that will essentially lock us from now and forever into having to use Comcast or another such company. So is it going to happen? Can you guys get the word out? I hope so. I hope you guys are listening and paying attention to the legislation that's going on in your states. It's important you do that, okay? All right, let's switch gears completely here. Let's talk about Square Cash. Can't use Square Cash here in Hawaii because for some reason they don't allow it. And it's kind of dumb. I could use this in a big, big way. So instead today, I've got a Square swiper and I've got a PayPal, basically credit card swiper on the way. So I can basically take payments when I'm at shows and events, and I can actually process credit cards right on my iPhone. It's really cool. But Square Cash is for those of you that want to make a bill collecting easy from your friends with less hassle. So let's say you pick up some groceries for your friends. You're going to a party, and I spent $60 on beer and chips and stuff, and says, oh, I don't have no money in my wallet. Well, you can very easy get them to pay you back by using Square Cash. And this is a super simple service that really lets you pay friends just by sending an email. And so they've added the ability to request money this week. So now you can ask to get paid back by sending an email to your buddy or reply all to a group of friends with the amount you need in the subject line and copying request@square.com on the message. When your friends receive the request and tie a debit card to their email, they can initiate the payment right away. And you can track who's paid. So say, for example, okay, I'm going to go, you know, what happened here in Hawaii is we got the Bruno Mars is coming to Hawaii. So some people stood in line forever to try to get Bruno Mars tickets. Well, only like 6% of the people that stood in line got tickets because all the people that buy up tickets in bulk do that online, and they essentially then come in and scalp them later. But, you know, let's say you were the one that was in charge of getting all your tickets for Bruno Mars for your friends, and you're going to buy 10 tickets at $120 a piece. You know, you spend $1,200. Okay, I got the tickets. Now you need to hit my account with $120 each. And you can send out that request with Square Cash, and it shows you who's paid. And then you can say, hey, Tony, you're the only one, dude, that hasn't paid for your ticket. You get your ticket paid or I'm going to, you know, I'll scalp it myself. So Square Cash is really cool. Makes it real easy to ask friends to, you know, pay you back for dinner or whatever it may be. And it makes doing a check in a group very smart. You know, you go to a big restaurant, you got 10, 12, 15 people, they bring you one check, right? And you're all like, and trying to add it up. So, you know, what I always do is I'm listen. Everyone drink, eat what you want. If you go really extraordinary and go off the chart from everyone else, you know, make sure you say something. But otherwise, let's just split the bill. You know, the bill comes, it's $500. You know, you just get the calculator out and say, okay, here's what each of you owe. Throw the money in. You're done, right? It's just easy. I hate doing that. Mine was $32. Can I have some change? Forget that stuff. One person swipes his card. The other people get basically a Square Cash announcement and pay you back right there on the spot. Very, very cool. All right. I'm going to have to show you guys something. Those of you that are listening, you need to come over to Geekness Central right now. Because I want, if you're on the treadmill, and I know you can't help it if you're in the car, but when you get somewhere where you can look at this, I want you to have your mind blown a little bit here. This is a beautiful picture, and this is up on Flickr. This is an astrophoto. It's a wide field mosaic of the Milky Way, and it is now my new background. This thing is beautiful. Someone really did a nice job with this, but it shows you how insignificant we all really are. It really, really does. So it was on a Universe Today, but I'll have a link up in the show notes. You can check it out. It's very, very nice. There's another article on Universe Today that I caught that I kind of laughed a little bit about. How would Earth send a message if we had a starship or we found a distant civilization? How would we send a message? You know, if you're in the starship and you've traveled 100 years to get somewhere, you know, maybe you just turn on the radio. But if you're, you know, three light years away, you know, almost the whole ship has to be like a big, antenna. So there's a big discussion on Universe Today on how we would actually communicate with a distant civilization. And it's a kind of an interesting discussion. It really is. And I think it's going to be harder. If we ever see this in our lifetimes, they're going to actually obviously come to us. But I think it's going to be harder. Maybe that's why all these UFOs never communicate. They just take people, right? And that's what they're doing, is they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we communicate with these barbarians? So link will be up in the show notes if you're interested in that topic. Hey, China's moon rover has survived a lunar night. Stands a chance of recovery. The Chinese are, you know, optimistic that they're able to get going here. But they know they still have some mechanical issues. But the Jade Rabbit can now receive signals normally from the Chinese ground control station. Also, SpaceX is on pace for a mid-March launch to the International Space Station. Judging flight delays and busy skies with the skill of seasoned air traffic controllers, ISS managers have approved the launch date of SpaceX's next cargo resupply mission for March 16th. And of course, SpaceX is using a Falcon 9 rocket and the Dragon cargo carrier. And this will make the company's third commercial logistic delivery to the space station under a $1.6 billion contract. So good job for SpaceX. All right, today, the world's largest solar panel plant started. Now, I want to put you guys into a little perspective here. Have you ever seen a nuclear power plant and how much space they take up? You know, I think when I was living in Maryland, I think across the bay, it was within like 7 miles of my house, was the Chesapeake nuclear reactor. That you guys can Google it, look it up. But anyway, the compound that that plant stayed on was not that big. Maybe half mile by, it wasn't huge. It wasn't that big. But sprawling across a staggering 5 square miles of federal land near the California-Nevada border is this brand new solar array that takes 300,000 computer-controlled mirrors, each 7 feet high to 10 feet wide, to focus the sun's light to the top of 459-foot towers. Now, let me go ahead and bring this so I can show you guys these pictures. These pictures are just pretty incredible. So they've got these towers, and today, the Ivanpah Solar Electric Generating System is fully operational and delivering solar electricity to California customers at full capacity. The facility's trio of 450-foot high towers produces a gross total of 392 megawatts of solar power, enough electricity to power 140,000 California homes. Okay, so 140,000 California homes. Now, it's sprawls across a staggering 5 miles of land. So five square miles. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It looks absolutely incredible. These big square, you know, facilities. And basically they turn water into steam and it turns a generator and they produce power, right? Well, let's talk about the comparison here. If we had a single nuclear plant that really, again, didn't take up as much space, a single nuclear power plant would about 3,000 to 5,000 megawatts. Now, here we have a 5 square miles, again, 5 square miles of solar arrays, 392 megawatts. Now, okay, it's clean. I'll give you that. And it looks beautiful. But unless there's some big event here that shrinks the population of the United States, we don't have enough land. If we put on every spare inch of land, we put solar arrays, I don't think there's enough spare land in the United States to even come close to meeting the energy needs of, not super green here, but I still think nuclear, you know, for its negatives, I know there's negatives, is, you know, you get a lot more bang for the buck there. You sure do. And it's technically a lot cleaner than coal, even though the waste stuff is a half-life of 5,000 years. Okay. All right, let's switch gears here. Facebook. Facebook has today provided 56 new gender identity options. You no longer have to be identified as a male or a female. Beginning today, you can choose from 56 different gender identities. So some of this stuff, I don't even know what they are. A gender, androgyne, androgynous, big ender, cis, cis female, cis male, cis man, cis woman, cisgender, pangender, transgender. I know what that is. Two-spirit, non-binary, neither, MTF, a gender, I can't say that in a show, gender variant, gender questioning, gender non-conforming, gender. So some of the stuff I got to Google. I don't know what some of these mean, be honest with you. But 56 different gender identities, you can make the change on your Facebook page today. So they definitely tried to be very inclusive. But what's interesting is two of the terms that I would have expected to be on here are not. Maybe that's not politically correct. They don't even have LGBT on here. But they have, I guess, the pure definition of it on the... Anyway, I'll have a link up for you in the show notes. You can check it out. All right, scientists have achieved nuclear fusion with giant laser. Now, this is big. Researchers at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory Wednesday said they achieved a first. Nuclear fusion system has produced more energy than initially absorbed. This is a small victory because it lasted. Okay, get your pencils out. 0.000000000003 seconds, and delivered a peak power of. Sure, that's a million. That's a billion, trillion. It delivered one quadrillion watts that lasted 30 femtoseconds. Oh my goodness. But very cool what they did here and how they are able to do this. But again, it lasted a 30 femtoseconds is how long the ignition lasted, a controlled ignition. So they only used 192 laser beams to make it happen. But apparently, this is we're on the road here. So maybe another 20 years, we'll figure out how to actually control fusion. We'll see. Our internet radio service builds profiles on its audience. Pandora hopes to build ad revenue by pinpointing likely voting preferences. So next time you listen to Bob Marley channel on Pandora, the internet radio service may peg you as a likely to vote for a Democrat. The Oakland, California company plans to roll out new advertising services next week that will enable candidates and political organizations to target the majority of its 73 million active Pandora listeners based on its sense of their political leanings. The company matches election results with subscribers' musical preferences by zip codes. Then it labels individual users based on the musical taste and whether those artists are more frequently listed to in Democrat or Republican areas. Users don't divulge their political affiliations when they sign up for Pandora. So I guess if I'm listening to, and this is really not fair, but let's just kind of call it the way it probably is considered. If I'm listening to a country station, they're probably going to send me some Republican ads. If I'm listening to, how do they do that? I don't think, you know, if I was listening to, just because you listen to Bob Marley, you consider yourself a Democrat. One thing they're just going to do is they're just going to piss people off. That's what's going to happen. Because, you know, it doesn't matter. They're never going to get it right. Users of Pandora's free service cannot opt out of politically targeted ads, though they can opt out of cookie-based ads on Pandora's website. Of course, Pandora offers an ad-free premium service for $4 a month. well worth the $4. Silk Road reboot claims all Bitcoin funds stolen in a hack. $2.7 million. This whole Bitcoin thing, it's all about robberies and hacks and stealing and everything else. A video over on Gizmodo shows what 12 inches of snow looks like in 45 seconds and a time delay camera. I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. For those of you on the East Coast, I'm feeling for you. I really, really am. Hey, on Gears and Gadget on Ars Tech, they're talking about new Android OEM licensing terms had been leaked and open. The Android Open platform comes with a lot of restrictions, and they were able to get a look at a Gingerbread era list of requirements for Google that what Google imposes on Android OEMs. And this is a pretty interesting read. If you want Gmail on your Google device, you have to have all the Google apps, not just Gmail. The agreement places a company-wide ban on Android forks, saying OEMs are forbidden from taking any action that may cause or result in fragmentation of Android. Google requires OEMs submit monthly reports containing sales figures for Android devices and even lists the email address these reports should be sent to. Google calls out in planning any virus worms, date bombs, time bombs, or other code that's specifically designed to cause Google applications to cease operating as being banned in approved devices. It also specifically mentions that modifying the no connectivity notice in the web browser is off limits. So there's just a whole bunch of rules that a open closed system works in. Hey, Verizon has jumped into wireless discount fight with More Everything. The More Everything plan doesn't look like a lot more cheaper. Looks like a lot more options with a lot less savings. But they do have some new pricing available. I'll have a link up in the show notes. Hey, are you a IE10 user? Do you belong to the VFW? The site in question, VFW.org, the home of Veterans of Foreign Wars, a nonprofit organization which I'm a member of, for U.S. military veterans who have served in combat overseas, but also open to serving military members of 1.5 million, had its site hacked. And those of you that may have visited that site with IE10, you've probably been hacked by the Chinese. In a lengthy blog post describing the attack, which is as named Operation Snowman, the firm FireEye said visitors to VFW site using IE10 browsers were hit with a drive-by download that installs a remote access tool on their machines that can be used to steal information. So IE10, VFW.org, sorry, your machine is probably now owned and being spied upon by the Chinese. Just be aware. All right, Taco Bell. I don't very often go to Taco Bell. Taco Bell is launching an app that they say is going to speed up the order process. So here's the deal. You're sitting at home. You're thinking, okay, I want a 12-pack. I want to run down to Taco Bell and pick me up a 12-pack. So you get out the app And you find your local store and you put in the information for your order and you hit submit and you get in your car. And as you're driving towards Taco Bell, you get to a certain distance from the store that triggers the order to be processed so that you don't get there and have soggy tacos. Basically, the order is not made till you're within a certain distance of the restaurant. And you can either walk in or drive through the drive-through. You basically can indicate that on the app. That'll kind of time your order. And basically, supposedly, you'll be able to get your fresh 12-pack of tacos without ever having to have talked to the lady behind the counter to get your Taco Bell fix. So that is coming to an app near you almost immediately. All right. Why are you guys doing this? According to a survey Uber Gizmo is produced, U.S. customers are holding on to $13.4 billion worth of old iPhones. Now, we got a solution for that here at Geek News Central. A big solution for that. Matter of fact, right now, if you guys go over to the folks at Gazelle by clicking the banner on Geek News Central, they're going to cop me some extra cash when you sell them an iPhone. Okay, so get your iPhone, your old iPhones turned into Gazelle. Get some cash. Help this show make some cash. So sell your gadgets for cash, free shipping, free data wipe, fast payment. All you got to do is click the Start Now button at geeknewscentral.com on the Gazelle banner, okay? So be aware of that. And we want you to get rid of all those old electronics and get some money for them. That old iPhone 1 that's laying in the cabinet, why keep that? Now, you may not get a lot of money for that one, but get rid of them, all right? I got a fly in here that's just dry. I've killed one already. Those itty-bitty little flies driving me nuts. All right, after 15 months, Windows 8 has sold 100 million fewer copies than Windows 7. It's bad. They've reached the 200,000 mark, but they've sold the 200 million mark, but they've sold 100 million fewer copies than Windows 7 did. At this point in the game. At this point in the game, Windows 7 had already hit 300 million in sales. So tells you how much people disdain Windows 8. Would you ever have a magnet put in your finger? I guess that's kind of a new thing that's going around. Some people did that. I don't think I'd want to do that. I'd stick to the side of my car and all kinds of other stuff. But I have to admit, the single best reason to put a magnet in your finger is to pull the lid out of a can of soup that you just opened up. That's the only thing I can think good for having a magnet in your finger. But someone likes to do that. I guess I really don't understand that at all. Another stats number that's out there. This is a moment that those of you that are Apple fans, hold on. Are you sitting down? In quarter four 2013, the number of computers sold by Apple was larger than the number of PCs sold globally. If you add Windows Phone to the mix, they're more or less exactly equal. So Apple's making some headway here, yeah? But pretty cool that they're finally selling as many PCs. But I think the big problem is because Microsoft Windows 8 sucks. All right, now, I'll have to admit that if I had an extra $199 laying around, I would buy this next product I'm going to talk about. And those of you that exercise or are hardcore on listening to a lot of music, you guys want to pay attention to this. The Dash is a smart headphone that lets you listen, train, and talk. You got to watch the video. It's one of the best Kickstarter videos I've ever seen. And they're trying to reach, they've already smashed through their $260,000 target. And it's probably going to reach a cool million before the week out. But when you see the features of these headphones, you're going to want to fork out $199. That's if you're quick. because some of those levels are going to go away. Okay. So pay, just trust me. If you got an extra $199 and you're looking for some headphones that are like really awesome, you need to go watch the video. Okay. This next article was one that I really wouldn't normally cover here, but it was cool for two reasons. There's this guy, it's called Northland Z. Have you ever heard of Northland Z? Well, Northland Z is like this amazing structure that's been built by one guy. He's got train tracks. I mean, it's pretty incredible what this guy has built. And they went in there with a Sony QX100. Now, the QX100 is a high-end model that attaches to an iPhone. And so Sony created a 4-minute documentary at Northlands. This is a 52,000 square foot exhibit space that comprises of hundreds of toy trains, tunnels, dozens of small towns, paper mache mountains as high as 3 stories, bridges made from countless toothpicks and more. And the team used the QX100 to capture Northland Z like never before. Again, this detachable lens-style camera makes the job much more easier. So definitely check this out. And I was going to Google. Oh, it's $500. Oh, that's what the camera lens cost? Oh, man, that hurts. But anyway, you got to check the video out. You really do. But it is kind of a cool lens. But $500? Man, that's a lot of money for a small lens for an iPhone. Another camera that's out there is pretty cool. The Casio EX100 has made it harder to really to mess up on taking pictures because when you pull the trigger, it takes 9 shots in one. And so just basically captures 9 pictures and then you pick the one that's the best. So the EX100 is arguably the most interesting compact camera recently. And so definitely check it out. I don't know if it's available. I think it's going to be pretty expensive. Oh, wow. $873 is pretty high. I'll have to look at some more details on this camera to find out why it's that much. But the Casio EX100 makes it hard to screw up a shot. And believe me, if anyone can screw up one, I can. Hey, Apple is patenting a method to curb spam with disposable email addresses. You sign up for service and then bam, the next thing you know, you're on a bunch of lists. So this disposable email service, a lot of companies are already doing that. You can get that service already all over the place. So definitely Apple's not the first to do this, but they've got a patent on it. No one's thought to do that. Are you a bicycle rider? Of course, those of you on the East Coast, you're not thinking about riding a bike right now. But if you're getting prepped for spring, and you're going to want to be able to get out there and cycle. Here in Hawaii, people take their life into their own hands when they're cycling here. It's very, very dangerous. But a rear-facing bike camera reminds drivers that they're being recorded. It's called Fly6 Bike Light. It includes a constant recording video camera designed to keep drivers behind a cyclist on their best behavior. Of course, most people aren't even going to know they're being filmed. It'd probably be used by law enforcement after you've gotten hit to find a guy that hit you if they didn't pull over. But so anyway, it records a full charge. It'll record constant 720p for up to 5 hours. And it includes an 8 gig micro SD card. What is the price on this thing? Oh, it's going to be cheap. $160. So not bad from a safety standpoint. I've got a buddy that mounts a GoPro in back and in front here in Hawaii because he says he's just come too close too many times to getting hit. Satellite imaging startup Skybox and Planet Labs has raced to cover Earth. Imagine having satellites up that you could watch live what's going on the ground at all times. They want to put a bunch of satellites up so that they cover the whole Earth so that you can Google something and basically bring up a live view. Kind of crazy, yeah? Talk about Big Brother. All right, Sochi's broadband overkill. They put up 900 base stations and antennas in a 0.8 square mile area, which Qualcomm says is the highest density in the world. The Megaphone Sochi network boasts data speeds are 10 times faster than the average rate in Russia. So imagine that, 900 base stations in Sochi, and it can handle up to 1.3 million people on their network at one time. Glass display maker says that a lot of companies are coming on board and building some sort of glass product. The Taiwanese company that makes displays used in Google Glass head-mounted display says it's working with multiple big-name electronics companies on head-mounted gadget products. Not saying who, but they're definitely doing that. So that's more to come. Cable companies and tech giants reportedly joining forces to push Wi-Fi forward. Time Warner, Comcast, Charter, Google, Microsoft, and Motorola aren't the most of likely allies, but it appears they'll be teaming up to form the new Wi-Fi Forward Coalition. According to the Wall Street Journal, the group will be pushing to expand Wi-Fi access primarily by lobbying the government to free up more spectrum for unlicensed use. So this should not come as a surprise, but the spectrum is pretty full, and television people don't want to move. Hey, if you live in the EU, finally, someone has some common sense. Hyperlinking is not copyright infringement in the EU. Can you believe they actually had to go to court to do that? Hackers are circulating thousands of FTP credentials. New York Times, the UNICEF, and a variety of other companies are basically on the list. Kind of scary. FTP is like having the keys to a car. Really, you can get and do lots of damage if you have FTP access to a server. It's really crazy stuff. Double authentication on FTP is critical, and having some controls on who has access to FTP is always important. I was reading about a company called AppGuard. AppGuard is a antivirus product that will block malicious programs. And what they do here is they try to have a whitelist of programs that are good to run, but also they look for stuff that's on the net that's trying to execute. It's $29.95. Anyone running this? I run several layers of protection on my machines. What are you guys running? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you're running for protection on your Windows and Apple machine, or Macs, your Macs these days, all right? Hey, a highway trooper is suing my Miami Police Department for repeatedly accessing her personal data after she pulled over one of its officers. Now, this guy was an off-duty officer in a police vehicle driving 120 miles per hour, which turned out he was late for a security gig after hours. This trooper pulled over this guy. She was in a cop car chasing a cop car. She didn't know what was going on, but the excess speed took him 7 minutes to pull over. And when she did, she thought that the car may have been hijacked or something. She drew on the car. When she said it was an off-duty police officer, she holstered her weapon. But in the end, this guy that was driving this fast got fired. Now, what happened after that is where this lawsuit is basically being filed. About 80 times, officers and agencies have accessed driver license information, and she's had vehicles parked outside her house, all kinds of stuff. So she's going after him big time. So basically, cops were trying to get back after the cop for getting the cop fired. So not going to be pretty. Someone's going to have to pay big. All right, you've got a Chromecast? Google wants to help you get steamy for Valentine's Day, folks. They've got a fireplace log that will burn. Basically, it's setting it up in Chromecast and send it to your screen, and it will just be look like a fireplace. For those of you that are on the East Coast, if you're out of heat right now or out of electricity, well, you can't do this, obviously, but if you have electricity and you're able to bring up your television set, you can put this on there and have a little cozy, steamy Valentine's evening. So, hope everyone's ready for Valentine's Day. If you aren't, it's too late. It really is. All right, that's going to wrap me up today. I do have an email or two that came in for news, and we're doing okay for time. I'm trying to keep the time close to an hour here on the show recently. All right, let's see here. I got an email from Hal. This guy's upset. Hal, I know you wrote me an email that is like, wow. If Comcast takes over Time Warner, it would yield unprecedented gatekeeper power in several important markets. It's already the nation's largest ISP, the nation's largest video provider, and the nation's largest home phone provider. Also controls a movie studio, broadcast network, and many popular cable channels. An enlarged Comcast would be the bully in the schoolyard, able to dictate terms to content creators, internet companies, other communication networks, and that must interconnect with it. So he is not happy. Hal, thank you so much for your email. Get the blood pressure down. I know you're mad, but thank you for your email. He goes on, like three paragraphs of just, you can hear him screaming at the top of his lungs. What do you guys think about Comcast buying Time Warner? We've talked about it at the beginning of the show. I'd love to hear your guys' feedback too. Here, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, so we're going to wrap the show at this point. And let me go back to Geek News Central. And for those of you listening, hey, come over to geeknewscentral.com. And we need you to support our sponsors. Just straight up support the sponsors on the website. And we hope that you will. And of course, we've got the new offer for those of you that are thinking about doing podcasting, where you get 1 month free service over at Blueberry. Don't forget about our drop cam cameras. And of course, get rid of your extra products with Gazelle. If you don't want to do any of that, become an insider. 6.7 cents a day will help you support the show at $2 a month. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Twitter is @geeknews. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Big, huge thank you to the Johanna and all the folks out there that support the show. And again, if you're new, I'm glad you're here and hope that you'll stick around. We'll see you on Saturday with Rob Greenlee, and I will talk with Gary Leland of Podtertainment and the new magazine that I'm also a contributor to. So I hope that you guys will definitely read that thing cover to cover. Let me know. I'll have the link up when it's available. I want you guys to tell me what you think about my first article for the Podtertainment magazine. But everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.